Pentagon told Trump not to go to war with Iran because they'd done a lot of the war games, not just militarily, but economically, and said it would basically go from bad to worse. But Trump is the president. He's not a puppet. He does what he thinks is best, and he thinks Israel's right, and that somehow we would have some big, quick, magic victory. He was bolstered by Venezuela, which I was worried about. Venezuela's a totally different situation than Iran. Oil prices are up 11%. They're estimated by the major oil companies and consortiums to double within a month.
You saw prices surge 25%. Oil Brent nearing $120. And then there was an FT report just out in the last hour or so saying that G7 members will be meeting later today, early U.S. morning, to discuss a potential joint release of the strategic oil reserves. And then prices kind of tapered a bit. You're still above $100 a barrel, which is huge.
If the strait continues to be cut off, it is causing a cascading effect in the economy, and we've gone over the different economists' analysis. They all agree that a closure of the Strait of Hormuz for 3 months would more than double the price of oil and send shockwaves. It would take, even if it opened back up, many months to reverse. And if you got 6 months of oil prices being doubled, you pack that into the economy as the truest form of inflationary drive. And you get the entire Trump recovery plan 100% dead in the water and the U.S. bankrupt for sure. And a lot of people were like, look, Jones just now discovered that Israel controls U.S. foreign policy. No.
The deadline for attaining this goal is getting extremely close. And Iran, by the way, is also outpacing Iraq in the development of ballistic missile systems that they hope will reach the eastern seaboard of the United States.
They have meddled, and they've been trying to get us to go to full war with Iran for 40 years, and they didn't have full control, or it would have happened. Now, I'm saying now they do, and they're calling the shots. You cut and dry. That's the big demarcation line. The Secretary of State saying, oh, yeah, Israel did this, so we have to. It's that it's cut and dry. There's no debate about it.
Biden released the money, gave it to the mullahs. And the mullahs turned around and financed Hezbollah, Hamas, October 7th, the Houthis, and whatever other terror groups they could fund. That's what happened.
We got to talk about how we get back control of the country. So Trump's entire agenda to secure the dollar, get us out of the edge of bankruptcy, get tens of trillions of investment in, reindustrialize the country, stop World War III with Russia. His entire laudable agenda is in deep, deep trouble over the Iran situation. He was advised by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the majority of his advisors. The majority said, bare minimum, this is a major destabilizer, will massively jack up energy prices, and will cause a cascading effect. Don't do it. And Trump still did it. And the Strait of Hormuz is still shut down, and it's going to be shut down for a long time. Because the Iranians haven't even tried to block it completely yet. They just sunk a few ships. And now the U.S. says, we're going to escort you through. And they got a bunch of oil drilling rigs that have their own engines and their own systems. And they could just turn those on and send them right out and turn the motors off and deflate them. And they go to the bottom. And the U.S. can sit there and try to stop them while they do it. But the Iranians are suicidal. They'll just continue to do it. Maybe it takes them a few hours until it just, like Tetris, just piles up all the wreckage, and now it's shut. And now, every time we try to go haul it out or dredge it out, they're going to be shooting at us. We'll be shooting at them, and then you know what's going to happen. We've got to send in troops just to secure the IRC headquarters. That's where that little tip sticking down from Iran, that peninsula, that's where the IRC headquarters is, right across from that tip, right on the other side, and that island. They got all their bunkers and all their secret bunkers and all their spider holes and all their weapons, and they got trap doors with good old-fashioned artillery, heavily militarized on both sides, and all they got to do is roll it out, and they can sink whatever they want. So that's called putting yourself in checkmate. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And is it declared war? The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
Alex Jones lights the fuse, and Harrison Smith keeps it roaring. This is the War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour about a specific topic. Sometimes I say we're only taking new callers. We're only taking old heads today. We're only taking classic info warriors. So I want to know what you think are the top InfoWars moments of all time. That's what I want you to call in and tell me. What are the most memorable or iconic moments in the history, the 30-year glorious history of this institution as we wind down, as a final execution date has been set? It's incumbent on us, sad it has to be this way, but we have to celebrate ourselves, you know? We were in a normal world, I dare to say, or if we were not who we are, there would be documentaries about us. There'd be like, because what Alex has achieved here is monumental. It's historic. It has actually changed the world forever. You would think that people would want to know about that. They'd want to know how it happened. They'd want to know the vicissitudes of the struggle to build up what has become a epoch-defining organization. And don't underestimate what InfoWars has done. I mean, I've shown you the clips, and these will have to be in the compilation, right? Things like the expert that was brought to testify during the Connecticut trial, who said, in her words, that in the run-up to 2016, Alex Jones was a bigger influence on the American electorate than Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and his next three competitors combined. It's not us bragging. It's not us seeing our own impact as, you know, outsized because we're taking a subjective view. There are literal scientists and professors and engineers studying this stuff and bringing you the scientifically valid conclusion that InfoWars has changed the world forever. And you can't look at the modern political landscape and not see InfoWars plastered across the whole damn thing. Even Fox News has had to come around to where we're at in some way just to maintain bare legitimacy. But what has happened in this office and on the road from behind a bullhorn or in the halls of Congress has actually changed the world, has been historic, has been monumental, has been the type of things that they'll remember 1,000 years from now. And I used to say this more, but you know, when you look at history, things get compressed. Roman history is a great example of this, where in the Roman oral legends, they basically say this one guy created all this stuff. Now, in likelihood, you know, in all likelihood, maybe that guy existed, maybe he invented some things. It would be like 1,000 years from now, you know, people look back in American history, and instead of remembering all the founding fathers, all the names that signed the U.S. Constitution, instead of remembering John Hancock and John Jay and 100 people, they say, well, Thomas Jefferson wrote it and George Washington was the president. And sort of they are the ones who did everything, right? It just gets compressed in that way. Naturally, that always happens in history. Well, if you look at this era of American history, probably the biggest story in all of it is the rise of Trump, which is not about Trump. It's about the changing cultural atmosphere, the rise of alternative media. I mean, all of this stuff represents an epoch, like a real moment in time where people look back like the 1960s was, or any, they'll look back and say, this was a major change. It was driven by this engine, which was you know, free speech and alternative media and independent people. And if you boil all of that down, you'll have one figure at the end of the day who represents all of it. It's Alex Jones. From MAHA and the health to, you know, the poisons in the food and water to the vaccine program. I mean, Alex Jones laid the groundwork for all of this and blazed the way and blazed a trail and then went from talking about the powers that be to being in direct hand-to-hand to the death combat with the very people that he was opposing from, you know, the Austin community cable access channel only a few years before. So I don't think you can overstate this. I don't think you can talk about the success that we've had enough, especially, you know, as we do come to an end, as we won't be able to use these logos anymore. We won't be able to say Harrison Smith for Infowars.com. The name that was chanted at Hillary Clinton rallies and flew above the DNC on blimps and were written in the sky by fans across the country. You're not going to be able to buy t-shirts that say Infowars anymore. You're not going to be able to get our stickers. I mean, now's the time, folks. Stock up while you can. These will be valuable collector's items in the very near future because we are going down. And folks, I haven't even said the number out and we already have full calls. So we'll go out to those momentarily. And I'm going to keep a list going. I've got a document up here and I'm going to keep a list going of historic Infowars moments. I only wrote down two because Darren McBreen and I were talking about this earlier today. And he put out a great edit of a rant I did on American Journal where I was talking about the fact that Tucker Carlson and what he represents today and who he is today as the most powerful voice on the right, totally independent, breaking the mold, breaking out of Fox News and yet bringing his credibility with him and just the real like iconic transformation that Tucker's gone through. You can trace that directly back to Alex Jones. Tucker Carlson came and visited Alex Jones. I was talking to Darren about it, and he was telling me some behind-the-scenes stuff. And this is what I'm saying. We're going to have to do it because nobody else will do it. We just got to do it ourselves. We're going to have to tell the stories and give you, you know, interview each other about behind-the-scenes stuff just so we can get it on record. But he was saying that, you know, he could tell, like, as Tucker Carlson was leaving. I don't want to tell the story for him. He's got to tell it himself, but it's stuff like that. But you take that and you trace it down. You go, you know, this little stone that Alex Jones threw in the river. I mean, the ripples have grown and grown and become this gigantic tidal wave where, like, the whole world is trying to take down Tucker Carlson because he listened to Alex Jones, understood what he was saying, followed the lines of logic, began to build his own, you know, network of conspiracy facts in his mind, and now has become, like, the number one challenger to the New World Order, second only maybe to Alex Jones. Getting Trump elected, obviously, massively important. Leading the Stop the Steal marches in the run-up to January 6th. I'm going to stop mentioning them because I want to give you guys a chance to tell us, but that was one I wrote down, was that Tucker Carlson visit. What a historic moment that turned out to be, folks. Same thing I'd say the interview with Trump, historic moment. Like, if you were going to make a documentary or a compilation, if you were going to share the most important moments of Infowars history, what would they be? That's the question that we'll go to you to answer. Now I'm excited to go out to calls. I had all this other stuff planned, but people called in so quickly. I want to go to those. But I think I'll take at least a moment to play kind of a longer video from the UK, because the UK is being absolutely dismantled right in front of us in ways that are shocking and I don't even have words to describe it because so much stuff these days is shocking and unprecedented and insane. Like, okay, I'm sorry the English word doesn't have sufficient vocabulary to, like, actually express how things are just constantly ramping up. But they're getting rid of jury trials. They're getting rid of, like, all of these protections for normal people. I'm going to have to read some of these headlines, but at the end of the day, I think this all goes back to something I've been saying a little bit recently, which is, like, we have not done a good enough job of educating people on the underlying reason for the values that we hold. In other words, it's not enough just to say in America we have jury trials. You have to explain why. It's not enough to say we have free speech. Free speech is good. You have to explain why it's good. You have to explain the value of the value, right? The purpose of it, the meaning of it, where it came from, why it's so important, why it's more important than other values like safety or comfort or not being offended. You know, like having guns, right? Being armed. It's not about hunting. It's not about sports. It's not about, but I like guns. Because having a gun is having dignity. And it's as simple as that. It's the mindset of your enemies you want to disarm. People you can't mess with are armed. It's a fundamental condition of being an American, that you are responsible for yourself, responsible for your own protection. And the powers that be are unable to persuade you. They're unable to coerce you or force you. They have to persuade you. They have to convince you. They have to respect you. And this is the same lesson that's being taught to nations in the Middle East right now. Why do you think they're trying to disarm Iran? Why do you think it's all about the ballistic missiles? The one lesson that should be beating us over the head is all of the guarantees you can get on paper mean nothing if you don't have the force to back it up. That's true on an individual level. So like these things that we just take for granted, we have to explain why they're valuable. And the video I'm about to show you is a man named Jeffrey Cox. And he's giving a speech to Parliament about the importance of jury trials. And everybody else in Parliament is giggling and laughing at him. And what he's delivering is an amazing speech. He is a very impressive orator. But occasionally you'll see it'll cut to the other MPs, and they literally are just sneering and laughing and mocking at him expressing the fundamental underlying values of Western society. It's so, like, disturbing to me. I don't know. I cannot believe how far the UK is falling. But they're getting rid of jury trials. And this man is standing up against it, and everybody else is too stupid to even understand what's happening. Let's watch.
Those who were oppressed, who were poor, who faced the full phalanx of the state, reigned against them. And it was this Secretary of State in a different guise who was their champion and their voice. And a jury trial is the most potent weapon and instrument against oppression, against injustice. And it serves not just those who are wealthy, but those who are poor. Not those who have a voice, but those who do not. It is 12 members of the jury who will give a hearing to people who have otherwise no hearing. I will not take interventions now, certainly if they're of the quality that we're having up till now. The reality is, Madam Deputy Speaker, that the jury trial is the cornerstone of our justice system. Do away with it, and we are in trouble. Now, let me say, look at the way in which this bill operates. It is to automatically presume jury trial for everything which will have a likely sentence of 3 years. Those will be some very grave offences. But in relation to serious and complex or lengthy cases, it could be any allegation. As long as a judge concludes it's appropriate that it should be dealt with without a jury. That could be, or apart from the excluded offences, which are, I accept, exist, but apart from the excluded offences, not just fraud trials, but all kinds of trials will be tried without a jury if a judge concludes it's appropriate. The moment you make jury trial subject to the view, the individual view of a judge as to whether it is appropriate or not, you drive a hole into this fundamental accepted right that all of us on each side of the House have accepted over so many years, which is that if you are accused of a serious crime, and a serious crime is one that could destroy your reputation, disqualify you from the House of Commons, wreck your professional reputation, loss of your employment like the postmasters and the mistresses, that you should be able to be judged by 12 people. There is a reason why summary justice is called summary. There is a reason why summary justice was always subject to a complete rehearing. Remember, the Honourable Lady spoke of how there was no right to jury trial. Of course there is no written right. There has always been an accepted consensus on both sides of this House and throughout the system of this country that jury trials are precious for those kinds of cases, particularly allegations of dishonesty. The right to elect is crucial. That is what this is being this bill is undermining. That is what is so dangerous about it. And undermining it on the basis of what? Arbitrary rules and arbitrary divisions. 3 years. Why three? Why not next year four? Why not next year five? Why not extend it gradually, little by little, until you reduce? No, I am not giving way. Let me make clear now. I want to finish in a moment. The reality, Madam Deputy Speaker, is that jury trial is too precious a thing. We're faced with a question of principle here. Are the savings that the government claim will be made, contested, and based off by many expert analyses, including the profession, including the Institute of Government and others as well, based upon questionable assumptions, are they sufficient for us to abrogate so fundamental a principle, attracting so rarely in our institutional and political life almost universal assent across the political spectrum? Are they sufficient for us to take this highly unprecedented and questionable step? And I would submit, Madam Deputy Speaker, they are not. I would submit to the House that we should pause long and hard before we encroach upon this fundamental principle. I have seen it work in practice over 40 years. As I've said, I have never failed to be awe-inspired by the sheer quality of attention and fairness that a jury brings to its deliberations. Summary justice can never replicate that. We are about to take a step that will irretrievably damage the quality of justice in this country. You know, when you...
So again, just absolutely amazing oration from that member of parliament. It's almost like a flashback. It's like, oh, this is probably what it used to be like. Not just like screeching minorities trying to get the most money from the white people. It's just like principled, meaningful, powerful. And by the way, they do have magistrate trials in England. 40% of them are overturned. So, or at least I should say, of the appeals for magistrate decisions, summary judgments, 40% of the appeals were upheld last year in the UK. So they're doing away with jury trials, despite the fact that the current magistrates in their limited, you know, summary judgment activity gets it wrong almost half the time, according to the appeals court. So it's not about getting a better result. It's not about the jury trials being, you know, biased. Although, you know, the way things are going in America, jury trials are not reliable anymore because half the time they fill them up with leftists that let people go on the basis of their race or give people harsher punishment on the basis of their race. I mean, there was a story today, I think I have it, from the National Post talking about exactly that. But let's go to clip 31 here. This is Katie Lamb, lady sitting next to MP Cox right there. talking again about the importance of jury trials and the difference of outcomes between jury trials and summary judgments. Let's watch.
In judge-only cases at the magistrates' courts, free speech defences succeeded in just 16% of cases. In Crown Court cases, where juries very often sit, free speech defences succeeded in 28% of cases. There is a clear divergence between the public's appreciation of justice and the views of the judicial establishment. The result of this government's plans will be to further alienate the public and to drag the justice system further away from the views of the British people. If that's what they want, then they should at least be straightforward about it.
So do you understand what they just said there? Yeah, there's a story I was talking about. She just said that if the defendant uses free speech as a defense, it only works with the magistrate 16% of the time, much more likely to be effective on a jury. See, the judge doesn't give a damn about your freedom of speech. That's not even a concern for him. So using that's not going to help. But a jury of 12 of your peers, they understand the value of freedom of speech. They understand what it would be like for them to be sitting in that bench having said the wrong words, and they'll decide in your favor. That's why it's being removed. It's being removed because the English people will not convict their own brothers and sisters for being angry at the conditions created by the government. The jury or the judge will throw them in jail for that. And yeah, if y'all can bring up that that headline, this is, I believe, out of Canada. But it's being made official now and like being written into law that certain races get less jail time than other races. Literally. Man who murdered girlfriend gets reduced sentence partly due to his race. Everton Javon Downey stabbed his girlfriend, Melissa Blimke, 15 times in a stairwell at a shopping center in Burnaby, British Columbia in December 2021. And he has now had his sentence reduced specifically because he's not white and therefore, I guess, doesn't have agency and doesn't have control over his own actions and so can't be blamed for murder. It's insane, but that's an official mainstream media headline that is actual law in Canada. It's coming here if we're not careful. But back to the UK, not only are they getting rid of jury trials, they're getting rid of the House of Lords, the hereditary lordship, the branch of their government and the house of their parliament that isn't voted on but is passed down with heredity. Is being done away with. Heredity peers to be removed from lords as bill passes. Will Tanner says this is absolutely awful. The peers are being abolished because they prove the central claim of egalitarian mass democracy false. Old World Show on X says, he quotes Clifford Doughty and says, with a minor gentry and a larger gentry, the gentry as a whole formed a political power that was to dominate the House of Commons. With their rise, it could be said, Spain is ruled by priests, France by kings, and England by gentlemen. No longer. The last real tie of what was England and Britain to the tradition and hierarchy that made it great has been severed. In its place now sits a monstrous, gray, stifling bureaucratic tyranny. So, and it's because they're white. It's because the people that ruled England were the people that were from England. They were white men, white families, and they passed that down in a hereditary fashion. Because they want to make England into a multicultural hellhole, by which I mean eradicate genocide and then destroy the memory of the people that once lived there, the white English Britons. So they're doing away with them systematically. They also are now, Reform UK has asked MI5, their version of the CIA, to vet political opponents. So no getting elected unless you're approved by the intelligence agencies.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke. In the 50s, They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment, we go directly out to your phone calls. I've asked people to call in with their favorite memory or just what they would want to see included in some sort of compilation or, you know, scrapbook of the greatest historical moments in InfoWars history. I'm keeping notes. I'm keeping a tally as we go. Max in Wisconsin, you're up first. What is your favorite memory from InfoWars' long and storied existence?
Tricky question, you know, because it's like a compendium. Jones has been on for so long, you know, so there's so many things. You know, his 9/11 coverage was iconic. Obviously, as you see now, what's going on now with you guys, Sandy Hook saga was, you know, like a look behind the curtain, deep rabbit hole. You know, there's other stuff that, like, broke into the mainstream, like Piers Morgan, or even, like, the gay frogs. Like, that just, like, what originally was, like, a joke and funny, and he was serious about it, and it spread like wildfire. Became like a meme and everything, and ended up being truer than he was originally predicting and talking about. You know, I like the old school, you know, like smaller studio. It was like the deep cut underground stuff.
Yeah. That studio is the podcast studio. It's about 50 feet that way behind me. Thank you for the call, Max. That was a great list. You sort of hit the top ones. I want to give other people a chance to to talk about it as well. But definitely Piers Morgan, classic, all-time great interview. Like maybe one of the, like the top 10 live television moments in history. Just fantastic. Gay Frogs, of course. I'll add the song. It was right around the same time that the Gay Frog song went viral. It was the Somali song. That was another absolute classic, which, again, they try to humiliate Alex by making fun of him, and it just makes him 10 times more popular. I remember, well, okay. Tim in Seattle, you're up next. Thank you for the call, Max. Tim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going, Harrison? My favorite all-time moment with InfoWars and Alex is him at Congress to send our Pichai saying Google is evil.
Google is evil. Just Google is evil. So good.
You know, he was so point blank in their face. I think that was the model for all of us to do. And so that was my inspiration, just getting right up in their face. So I think that was Alex's moment of moments.
Yeah, absolutely. And you remember it was that moment that we got kicked off Twitter, right? Or was it a different, it was that time, right? That's when he saw Oliver Darcy.
Yeah, it was
a different time. We went to two hearings. I was there at both of them. I think I was probably filming some of this footage. We went twice. The second time was Sundar Pichai. There I am on the left. See me? The first time, though, was we were there for something else, right? And that was the time that
the Senate hearing.
He confronted. Yeah, it was the Senate hearing. Well, no, there's a different one. Because then we went to the Oliver Darcy was at the tech hearing is what I'm hearing in my ear. So, and you confronted him there, but that was the video that got us kicked off X. According to Jack Dorsey, it was that it was bullying because he said he looked like a possum that crawled out of a dead cow's butt, which was accurate. Okay. But that was still the excuse they used. Oh, we'll have to get the timeline exactly right. But there were a couple visits to DC in quick succession. Google is evil is one of them. Oliver Darcy got us kicked off Twitter. I'm thinking that must have been before, because then the big tech hearing happens. We're like in response to the censorship, right? Because then we also went and stormed into the actual hearing. That was this trip. That was the first time we went. They didn't expect us, and we stormed in. And it was the censorship hearing where like Ben Shapiro was testifying, even though he'd never been canceled on anything. And Alex Jones was sitting in the... yeah, there's Oliver Darcy. So this was the live stream that got us kicked off X. I was filming it, I'm proud to say. Fantastic. Google is evil. Oliver Darcy is a possum. Very good memory. Let's go to Jordan in New Jersey. Thank you so much for the suggestion, Tim. Jordan, you're on the air.
Hi, Harrison. Nice to speak to you again. I'm a longtime caller. I've been listening or with Alex since 2003 about... for me, I've been a guest on the show, but for me, it's the Francis Boyle coming out on the forefront, basically very early in 2020, talking about the Franken shot, as he called it, and what was going to happen with COVID. And I would say that I did mine based on historical, significance more than greatest hits, and that the whole COVID thing was probably the premier aspect of InfoWars, and I think that's why they resurrected the whole Sandy Hook thing, is because of InfoWars' work during COVID, of which I was involved, calling in all the time. I think that was one of the most historical things that InfoWars was about. I think they saved lives through that whole process. And I'll never forget it.
100%. Certainly, like in the top three things I'm proud of, you know, for my work at InfoWars, I think, like my report in front of the White House when we were in D.C. in either late January or very early February 2020. And I just laid out exactly how COVID would operate because I'd been listening to Alex, because InfoWars knew the play. And I do think we saved lives. I know we saved lives because I know a lot of people did not get the vaccine because we told them not to. And very proud of foreseeing that. You're absolutely right. Calling out COVID early on was a very powerful thing. It certainly didn't make us any friends, but just to clarify, the Sandy Hook operation, like they tried to get it done before COVID. And I think that may have been part of the calculus because if you remember in 2016, 1 week after the election of President Trump was the first time that a mainstream or any media outlet connected Alex Jones to Sandy Hook. The first time, and it was all in relation to, why is Donald Trump hanging out with this guy that says Sandy Hook is fake? 1 week after the election, 1 week after we beat them, they all of a sudden decided that a story from 12 years earlier needed to be, you know, resurrected, or I guess 6 years earlier at that point, needed to be resurrected. And it was all about our effectiveness during 2016. They did not realize how powerful we were. Getting Donald Trump elected was their wake-up call, and they realized we got to shut this stuff down. And you remember, they expected Trump to lose anyway, and regardless, they were going to roll out and have this plan to roll out, quote-unquote, fake news. Remember, Trump didn't come up with fake news. They called him fake news, and he turned around and said, you are fake news, and it blew up in their face and became something that means the opposite of what they meant it to mean. But that was a strategy. That was a PSYOP campaign where they decided in the 2020 election, wow, these alternative news sites are a little too powerful. We need to come up with a phrase to discredit them so we can use the government to shut them down. They came up with the term fake news. Trump was able to stop that, but they started the Sandy Hook lawsuit a week after and kicked us off everything in 2018. Didn't work. It's never worked. None of them have ever worked. Let's go to VCMOB in Arizona. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Harrison? How are you, man?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to, one of my favorite moments is definitely the Pierce Morgan, man. The 1776 will commence again. Like, dude, that is just all time. You can see that is all over the internet, no matter where you freaking look it up. It's just hilarious. And then also the best thing about Alex, man, it's not really a moment, but I mean, whenever he says something, he's like on the money. Mm. Like, we're going to strike Iran on Friday night. You know, that's just one example of many times that I've, you know, relayed the info to my friend, my group of friends. They think I'm a damn psychic, man. They're just like, how did you know that? You know, and I say, you got to listen to Alex Jones, man.
He called the Russian war like almost to the day as well. And I'll never remember, because like some people think it's like kind of silly when Alex, but like there really is something weird about that. If you remember on election night, I can't remember if it was 24 or 2020. I can't remember now, but Alex predicted to the minute when they would announce. Like, it was crazy. It was me and Owen and Alex, and we all guessed. And I think Owen and I guessed, like, oh, it'll be in an hour, it'll be in an hour. And Alex was just like, it'll be at 1:28. And it's just, it was to the minute what he predicted. I witnessed that with my own eyes. Like, that was uncanny. It was weird. It was very weird. And I thought, me and Owen were completely off because we were like trying to logic it out. But like, no, Alex honestly does receive like weird transmissions like that, where it's just like to the minute, they'll release it at 1:28. And it's like, they release it, we look at the clock, it's 1:28. It's weird, but you can watch it happen live. Go back to the election night coverage. It's bizarre. Maybe there's nothing to it, but I think there's something to it. Great call. Thank you for that, VCMOB. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut now. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I don't know if a lot of people remember this one, but back under the Obama era, Alex got a report from a base in Texas saying that they were moving a nuclear bomb that they didn't even know was there, and it was heading towards North Carolina. And then later that night, it was all over the news. Oh, terrorists might be sending in a nuclear bomb on a freight ship. And after that, it was crickets. And the next day, I was like, oh, I got him. I think he stopped a false flag nuclear attack. They're going to blow up a nuclear bomb off the coast of North Carolina.
Wow. And they were setting the stage for that. But then a caller called in to Alex and basically blew the whistle on him.
Yeah, it was guys from the base.
I hadn't heard of that one. That's
because
awesome.
He's mentioned that a couple times. Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing, like visually, if you're going to put something like in a reel together, Alex Jones physically stopping human trafficking with his bare hands down at the border. These kids, they don't have seatbelts, you know?
That's great.
That's what he did. He stopped human trafficking with his bare hands, you know?
What other news anchor does that, huh? What other, you know, talking head gets involved like that? That's why it's like, and again, this is why they hate us. This is why, in a way, their strategy to bankrupt us has been successful. Because, I mean, I was looking back at 2017, 2018, we went to New York like four times. We went to Washington, D.C. I mean, we were traveling all over the place. We were producing stuff. I mean, it was awesome. We had so much support from you guys, and we just poured it right back into the operation, and we were traveling everywhere and organizing marches and organizing resistance and doing all of that. And then the bankruptcy happened. They got control of our accounts, and we've basically been grounded since then, right? No flights since then. But man, that's why they hate us. That's always why they hate us. There are other people that have talked about this stuff. Maybe not to the level, the degree, and with the holistic attitude that Alex has, but there are other people that talked about it. We led marches. We told you to get involved. We didn't say, this is happening and go hide. This is happening. You better run to the woods and don't get involved. We said, go get elected. Go advocate for this. Go hold marches. Go make people aware of what's going on. You are the resistance. Total opposite of the QAnon psyop, right? Sit back and relax. Don't do anything. Everything's under control. Trust the plan. The polar opposite of the InfoWars strategy, the InfoWars motto, the InfoWars mindset that made us so dangerous, that makes us so dangerous. Telling you to get involved, reminding you that you're the ones in charge. It's your will that dictates the future, should you choose to assert it. That's what made us dangerous, makes us dangerous, and keeps us slated for destruction to this day, which is why I'm so excited to be starting something new, because, man, once the limiter gets taken off, you'll see the engine roar. Thank you for the call, Mike. Let's go to Cheeky in Washington State. Go ahead. Cheeky, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harrison. I got to say, by far, like the top moment for me was when I watched Alex in 2016 when he was stumping for Trump. And he was supporting him, and he's like, you know, I'll support him, but if I see him ingratiating goblins or getting in bed with goblins, then, you know, I expect him to wade into the swamp, and, you know, there's goblin slop and goblin vomit. I will never forget that clip. And it's been turned into so many different little musical bits on YouTube.
Yep.
And there was one other bit that he did that was just over the top. He looked like a possum crawling out of a cow. Mm-hmm. That was pretty nuts. But really, I think the best that you guys did was the "I'll eat your ass."
There's some good ones too. You know, it goes to show you how like really effective memes are. This is the dumbest thing to say, but like, you know, these moments. There are 10,000 of these moments. I mean, 10,000 rants of Alex Jones, right? Every day he's on air for 3 to 4 hours, 7 days a week. It's like, what makes 1 5-minute chunk of one show better or more special than 1 5-minute chunk of one other show? Sometimes it's just because somebody decided to take that 5-minute chunk and to re-edit it into a song and it goes viral, or, you know, clip it out. And in the case of the Somali song, like, you know, make it into a meme song and spread it that way. And it's like these little moments that otherwise would just be one of the 10,000 that we see on a daily basis. Instead, it becomes something like a cultural phenomenon. Instead, it becomes something that sticks in people's minds and they talk about forever and becomes defining of their character. Like, that's you. That's whoever made that video. That's you, Ping Trip, or, you know, any of the other editors out there. Placeboing. This was a Placeboing one. And that's what separates it, makes it special, and you know, gets it in people's minds. It's a great rant, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of great rants. It's up to you to take it and do something creative with it and make it something beyond what it was before. Make it something culturally significant. And of course, it's Alex Jones embracing the meme culture and not shying away from it, not being, you know, embarrassed or offended by it, but being like, no, great, make cartoons of me being a goblin. It's hilarious. I love it. Thank you so much for that, Cheeky in Washington State. You're right, the goblin rant is another classic. Let's go to Matt Baker on line one. Matt Baker, thank you for calling in from California. Sir, how are you?
Man, Harrison, I'm doing good. How many memories? So many memories. I mean, I'm a little partial to when I was in studio with you. That was probably my favorite memory. But I would say the Barton Springs jumping in during COVID, Alex ripping down the thing and then jumping in the pond. And
amazing.
That whole shebang. That was epic, and I wasn't there for that, but... I was there for the reunion when I met you for the first time, and that did lead to me coming in the studio. I was thought it was interesting that you're talking about the predictions. Remember, there was also the Vegas shooting. He like called it to the hour. So I was like, probably 10 o'clock, you know, Vegas. I think it's like
right.
He totally called that. And then I don't know, because I've been kind of in and out of listening. The whole concept of the false flag. Has anyone brought that one up yet?
that Alex Jones popularized the very concept of false flags. No, we haven't talked about that.
Every show, like I'll be listening to Suleiman Ahmed or whoever, and they're like, it's a false flag. This is a false flag. Everything's a false flag. Like, nobody ever said false flag before Alex. I mean, that altered the consciousness of humanity right there.
New World Order, globalist, false flag. I mean, there's a dictionary worth of vocabulary that originated with Alex Jones. You're exactly right.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Brandon Gray down there. He picks up the phone. I'm like, what are you doing over there?
Yeah, that's cool. Right.
You guys got him in the house now.
Oh yeah, we're still growing. We're still moving around. We're still operating.
Hey, well, don't forget about your boy when you guys expand over there. You know, I could always put in some lift some work.
There's big things coming. I know you and Luke Sly Waker, and I mean, so many people in California. I mean, we really need like a San Diego, you know, office of InfoWars because you guys are doing it already. Like, we could at least be helping out. Of course, it'll have to be the Alex Jones Network satellite office, I guess. But we do have some big plans, so fear not. Thank you so much for the call.
Some other guys come on. I don't want to hog your last minute, but I don't know. Is this the real deal this time?
I think. I don't know, man. You know as well as I do. I mean, we all joke about it at the office. It's like, well, we'll see, I guess. Yeah, I think it's real this time. I almost, in a way, hope it's real this time. I'm sick of going through this. Obviously, we don't want it to end, but I'm so excited to start something new. I really am. I really think it's going to be a big thing, and I'm really excited for all of you to see what we're cooking up in the background. Thank you so much for the call, Matt Baker. Great, as always. Let's go to Brad in Utah. Go ahead, Brad. You're on the air.
Well, thanks, Harrison. I've been looking forward to talking to you. Appreciate your perspective on Israel. And, you know, we do operate on a herd mentality. And Alex has shaped the minds, and InfoWars has shaped the minds of those of us in the trenches. I appreciate the magazine that he put out.
Yep.
I remember the Sarnoff brothers,
Boston bombing.
Oh, the Boston Marathon. Yeah, and I could prove to people that it was a false flag. I appreciate what Matt just said. And there's so many callers that called in. I actually called in to mention about Dr. Francis Boyle and the lives that I was able to save just around me. One of my good friends was in Walmart getting ready to get this shot. And, so I happened to call right then. Wow. That's how God works in our lives. And one of the things I've been wanting to mention to anybody I could call into was the Table 8 FBI, look up Connecticut, or FBI Table 8 Connecticut, and look up Newtown. And go to that column where it says murder and non-negligent manslaughter.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Brad. I would know nothing about that. Certainly looking into that table has never gotten us into trouble before. Yes, I think you'll find that we did cover that table when it came out, Brad. That was one of the I think it was one of the key things that we got sued over, so Not to cut you off, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Thank you so much for the call. I want to get to a few more. We got 4 minutes left in the show. Appreciate the call, Brad. Let's go to Inner City Rogue in Colorado. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I'd like to just mention the Matt Drudge moment when back in 2016.
Matt Drudge.
It's really important because had a really important moment just drop by unannounced, kind of, and just, you know, kind of a chilling message that was very blackpilling moment, or should have been,
but very, very prescient. And very true.
Like,
and I think one of the only times Matt Drudge has ever been anywhere public. I mean, nobody even knew who this guy was, and he was here in studio right over there, right by that door. An absolutely amazing moment. We have time for at least one more. We'll go one or two more calls. Michael in Tennessee has called in. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I'm enjoying speaking to you. Thank you so much. My three top moments for InfoWars were like Bohemian Grove.
Of course.
And Bilderberg Group.
Of course.
And 9/11 Inside Job.
Yeah.
I mean, that just awakened the entire planet, I'm telling you. just right there.
Woke me up, and that's for sure.
You know what else awakens the planet is the Survival Shield X2 iodine. I guess that's a different product now.
Well, it's same quality, just different label. It's actually ours is actually a little bit better. But yes, the T3 trifecta iodine. So if you liked X2, you'll love the T3. It's very much the same thing, just a little bit of a better recipe, I guess. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison to take advantage of that. 50% off right now for VIP members. Absolutely, Michael.
It changes your life literally, like in a day or two or something.
But sometimes it can take a little while to kick in, but it is an absolute powerful one. Thanks so much for the call. Sorry, running out of time here. Getting to the next. And by the way, I agree with all of these. I mean, I remember distinctly the first time I saw Alex Jones bullhorning Bohemian Grove, and he's outside the hotel, and I'd reference it all the time because even when I first started working here, and people would say, "Well, you know, you like Alex Jones," I'd say, somebody needs to be out there literally telling these people, we are not your slaves. We are not for sale. We know what you're up to and we're going to stop you. Like, of course I love Alex Jones. Okay, it's not really my style. I'm not the type of guy to go bullhorn, but thank God there's somebody out there doing it. Thank God there's somebody out there speaking up for us and literally bullhorning these people. Can you imagine being a Bilderberg person? You think you're in total secrecy. You think you're meeting with all, and you just hear through the glass the voice of Alex Jones. We are not your slaves. We're not for sale. It's like that. I can't even imagine what they thought about that. Meeting Paul Joseph Watson there when Bilderberg was in England. Amazing stuff. Last call, Sean in New York. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Captain Clown Car, Port of Duty, Harrison. So, yeah, I'd say probably the best time was the COVID pitch meeting at the water cooler that you did.
Yeah.
You know, between comedy and reality, a lot of times in the InfoWars world, it's kind of, you know, yelling, pushing, you know, hard, scary facts down your throat. And you, Harrison, bring a little light and levity to the situation, like a meme, creates the comedy and makes people think about, wow, I'm really looking at this wrong. And I would say a lot of people have woken up over the past 6 to 10 years, woken up where I believe that we're 50-50 now is more coerced as one, you know, as far as
I agree. I mean, you cannot overestimate the steps we have taken, the advances we have made for the cause of human liberty. And that's the thing. All of these moments are amazing. Put them in a compilation, it'd be funny, it'd be thrilling, it'd be iconic, of course. But what it represents is something really monumental and epic and amazing. A true underdog story of a regular American man who is now going toe-to-toe with the forces of evil. And none of it is possible without you, the InfoWars audience, every step of the way.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.